everyone. Welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of September 16th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and not where she was last week, Melissa Hansen.
I never am, am I?
Are you in the witness protection program? You keep moving around. Oh, sorry.
Don't tell him my real name either.
I won't. I will never do that. That's your radio name. So, how has your week in witness protection entertainment been like?
Well, this week I spent some time on the internet.
Oh.
Looking up VW and Fanta.
Oh. Because last I brought week, that up last
you
week.
You started the horrible rumor about poor Fanta soda.
Well, somebody told it to me, and I said I didn't know if it was true, but somebody mentioned it to me.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of rumors. It's actually out there. Rumors like that, like Hitler invented Fanta, or Coca-Cola made it for the Nazis,
right,
or whatever.
The truth is.
So it's not.
Yeah.
It's not that kind of thing. It's not invented by the Nazis or for the Nazis or
okay,
any of that.
All right. Now, what about the Volkswagen, though?
Now, the Volkswagen one is true.
Aha!
The Volkswagen started out as, like, under Hitler.
Okay.
It was commissioned in 1934 as the Nazi people's car. But the thing is, it never really got mass-produced in Germany at that time. It didn't get mass-produced until later when we were allies with West Germany. They kind of brought it to the U.S.
Okay.
And it became, you know, their very American car.
Okay. Now, I think I learned that on Top Gear, on the U.K. show Top Gear.
Okay.
I talked about.
And this is from Bloomberg. com. I kind of looked up and found a whole big article about it. It's kind of interesting. So, anyhow, just to clarify statements from the last podcast.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. You know, right. If nothing else, we're known for our fact checking.
Yeah. So, yeah, right. Oh, yeah, that's it. Anyhow, the other thing I did this week was watch some pilots.
Oh.
You had talked about seeing some previews for new shows. We had started talking about that because it's actually starting this week, the new TV season. But I had mentioned Hulu had kind of previews for a whole bunch of stuff.
Yes.
Hulu, and it's not just Plus, it's regular old Hulu, you don't have to pay for it, has a bunch of pilots.
Nice.
Available to watch before they air.
All right.
So I watched Trophy Wife and Back in the Game. Let's see, The Mindy Project, the new season is on there.
Okay.
Or the first episode of the new season is on there. And The Goldbergs, and there's a whole bunch. Like, I didn't watch it, but Ironside, the pilot.
Yeah, that kind of pissed me off, only because there was a whole story about why didn't they not cast a handicapped actor. There are plenty of very good actors who are either, you know, who are paraplegics or have problems, and yet they cast a handicapable actor. Not to say that Blair Underwood isn't a fantastic actor.
But Blair Underwood is the handicapable actor.
Right.
Like, listen, who doesn't want to watch Blair Underwood? Come on.
And what did you think of the pilots that you saw?
Yeah, I saw, let's see, Trophy Wife is kind of light hearted, but cute. Goldbergs was really funny and really sweet.
Nice.
Back in the Game, which is the Maggie Lawson, James Caan.
Yes.
One, they really work well together. I didn't think they would.
Well, you know what? And I've had the pleasure of talking with Maggie several times in person. And I think she can get along with anybody, to be perfectly honest with you. She's that type of person.
Yeah, but it's not the getting along with, but their characters is contentious. They play father-daughter.
Okay.
And he was like an asshole raising her. And she holds everything in her life like against him.
Hmm.
Kind of thing. And it's getting to know each other a little bit and realize she has to move. She gets divorced. She has to move back in with her young son.
Yeah.
And it's realizing that maybe he's not what she thought. And stuff. But they can like good zingers at each other.
Yeah.
So it was cute. Nothing's like blown me away
okay.
that I've seen. But it's just those handful of episodes. So
now, do any of these have legs? Do you think that they're going to stick around? Or do you think?
I'm so wrong. I didn't think the mini project was going to last, to be honest, just because it was a little bit too quirky.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously that's done really well. Yeah. So I hope they all, I mean, the ones I just mentioned, I enjoyed.
Now, Trophy Wife was Malin Ackerman, right? From right. Watchmen.
Right. And she's adorable in it.
Okay.
No, that's got a really good cast.
Is that Bradley Whitford's show?
It's Bradley Whitford. Okay. He plays like a lawyer guy who's been married a couple of times, and he's got like three kids with his two ex-wives, and he ends up marrying Malin Ackerman there for a Trophy Wife.
Okay.
But Marsha Gay Harden plays one of his former wives.
Nice.
And she's like a surgeon, and she's like kind of hard ass. So it's this whole blended family, and his ex-wives are involved. You know, because through the kids and stuff. And then it's Malin Ackerman, just adorable, like trying to fit in, trying to get the kids to like her, trying to get the ex-wives to like her, trying to show she's more than just a trophy wife.
Okay.
It's cute. It didn't, like I said, nothing like, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's my favorite new show. But they were cute stuff.
Nice.
So yeah, you guys can check them out on Hulu. You know, see if you want to actually keep watching them.
Cool. I still think they should have a network of that just shows failed pilots, like pilots that were made and never made, picked up for series.
Right.
Because I think there's a lot of great stuff out there.
Ran some that, like, they got picked up and then, like, canceled right away.
Okay.
Like, the pilots got made and stuff or that kind of thing. IFC, for a while, was showing, like, pilots that never really got a whole series. So.
All right. Well, my week wasn't quite as exciting as yours. I am in the midst of doing all of this ridiculous. My schedule has just been insane. So whether it's acting for the medical schools or deep into rehearsals for Shrek, and I just started working with a jazz choir this week. And so my time has been... But you know what? The amazing thing about jazz choir is you cannot be a lazy singer. These harmonies are so tight that you have to be on your toes at all time. And these are some really incredibly talented people. So I have never sung like this before. I mean, I was trained, vocally trained as a classical singer, you know, Italian arias and things like that. But this is a completely different beast. So it's going to really challenge me in interesting ways. So I'm really curious to see how this plays out. But I babysat for my niece's nephew last night. And I can't say babysit anymore because they're not babies.
They're not babies, no.
But we watched Spy.
You hung out with them while they're playing out.
Correct. Yes. We watched Spy Kids 4.
Oh, geez.
Which was All the Time in the World or something like that. And
no.
The bad guy was Jeremy Piven. And you know how much I dislike Jeremy Piven.
Yes.
And it's not this. So Robert Rodriguez did the three Spy Kids films with the two original kids.
And right. And we're like 20 now. So.
Right. So it was 7 years since the last film. So those kids are grown up and they do come in halfway through the film and play a part. But these are two new kids.
Okay.
And their parents were played by Jessica Alba and Joel McHale from Community.
That's quite a pairing.
And their dog, their robot dog, was Ricky Gervais.
Nice.
So it was a very interesting juxtaposition of, you know, actors and stories. And
you know, I saw the original Spy Kids. I might have seen the second one. I'm not sure.
I've never seen any of them.
Remember. They're cute. But yeah, I definitely have not seen this reboot.
So, but I have to say, I mean, Robert Rodriguez is a very talented filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Desperado trilogy with Antonio Banderas and Selma Hayek. But
isn't it kind of crazy? It's the same guy that made like Grindhouse and that. And like, what?
But he has this passion for doing family films.
Right.
And he does a fantastic job with it. I mean, it's corny, but it's not over the top cheesy where you sit and roll your eyes.
Full for adults to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. So it works. So it's on Netflix now. If you have any interest in seeing it, it's out there. I kind of recommend it. So.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah.
You know, probably not, but maybe.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Box office this past week had a bit of a shocker, considering I kind of talked bad about the movie last week.
We have you to blame, right?
I guess.
Insidious, Chapter 2, 41 million.
Holy crap.
We like doubled. This is like summer money compared to, you know, what it has been the past few weeks.
Now, we are getting into the Halloween season, so people love to be scared, but still, come on.
Wait.
A sequel?
Yeah. I don't know, 41 million for that. And then The Family, 14 and a half million. At number two.
Which has kind of been in the arena where the other top movies have been the past few weeks.
Like, yeah, if it had been any other week, that would have been number one with 14 and a half.
Yeah.
So anyhow, Riddick is hanging in there with 7 million. Lee Daniels, the butler.
Which I still have to see.
5.6. And then we're the Millers, 5.4.
Yeah. So we're getting into now, as you'll see when I run down the list of movies that are coming up this next week, we're going into awards season. So you're starting to see all these kind of intense biopics and, you know, historically grounded epics and things like of that nature that tend to populate this end of the year season. So Toronto Film Festival just wrapped up. One of the biggest films that screened there this past week was Ron Howard's Formula One racing biopic Rush, starring Chris Hemsworth.
I heard about this a little bit, and I was like, oh, who would want to see that? And I saw, like, a trailer for it, and it actually looks kind of interesting.
It looks really intense.
Yeah.
And it had huge buzz at Toronto, so they're opening it in limited release this week. Now, that usually means big cities like L.A., New York, possibly Chicago. I didn't see the list of, but keep an eye on your local theaters to see if it's showing up in your town this week.
Yeah, be an interesting one.
Yeah. And Ron has not done a movie like this before.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I think anybody else directing, like if Michael Bay directed it, or like just action-y Bruckheimer's had to do with it or something, like that's what you would expect. But just being Ron Howard, you're like, oh, well, this is obviously going to be something at least a little different.
Now, he did do Backdraft. Which was
not a typical action movie either.
Right. It had its moments.
Yeah, it had more to it. So, I don't know. I have to see. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
So, you all go see it and let me know, and then I'll see it.
All right. The other one that's opening this week that's also getting really good buzz is Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal in Prisoners, which is a kind of a family kidnapping drama. So, you've got the father who's going after, you know, Liam Neeson style, going after the...
That's what I was going to say. Didn't we do this already?
We did, but he's... And Jake Gyllenhaal, I guess, is either FBI or police or something, and he's on the other side, so you've kind of got these dovetailing stories of who's going to, you know, get there first. But there's supposed to be twists and turns, and it's, again, the preview reviews that are coming from film critics and audiences who have seen this is kind of off the charts.
Yeah, and the supporting cast on this?
I know.
Hello.
Yeah.
Viola Davis.
Yeah.
Maria Bello, who I've missed. I like her.
She's very good.
Terrence Howard, Melissa Leo, and Paul Dano.
How can you go wrong?
Oof. Yeah, that's a cast there.
And then there's two other films opening up that are kind of a giant step down from these two. So you've got the sci-fi thriller The Colony, which stars Larry Fishburne, Bill Paxton, and the kid from Mortal Instruments, Kevin Zegers.
Larry, you're such buddies with him. You call him Larry.
Larry Fishburne. Hey, I ran into him and Gina at Disneyland. What are you going to, you know?
There he goes. Now you're buds because you have to walk by him.
He was really fat. He's got
Yeah, he
really
got really
fat.
Heavy there.
Although
I think before like the CSI stuff.
Yeah. Well, even in Man of Steel, he was still pretty heavy.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway.
But the next ice age has hit the earth, and they are the remnants of humanity.
Mm.
So they're fighting to survive against a force that's more dangerous than nature. So there's something else out there.
Oh, okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, then.
And then here we've got this other one that I saw the trailer for probably about 6 months ago. It's called Battle of the Year. It's one of those dance teams. It's like Bad News Bears for dance teams. And the coach is Josh Holloway from Lost.
My.
And two of the members of the dance team
mm-hmm.
are Josh Peck from Drake and Josh, and Chris Brown.
Oh, good Lord.
So this is a disaster waiting to happen. And I love Josh Holloway, but still.
Oh, he's so great, but yeah.
I mean, he had his brief little moment in Mission Impossible 4, but the dude needs to work more.
This is actually based on a documentary.
Shut up.
Called Planet B-Boy.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, this is based on real life.
Okay. Well, and I have to say the kid who played my son in On Golden Pond, Matt Sullivan, who is a talented dancer in his own right. I mean, that's his world. He's 12 years old, and he does all these dance team competitions. So I don't mean to degrade or, you know, take down anything.
I would rather go see the documentary.
Yeah.
Than to see a movie made about it, to be honest.
Yeah.
See the real kids working hard.
Go see Maddie and his friends do their thing. Don't go see Chris Brown and give him any more money than he already has.
Thank you.
All right. So that's all we've got for this. Oh, wait, there is one more. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Hillbilly terror strikes hunter Sam Rockwell as he tries to survive the plans of back swamp criminals William H. Macy, Jason Isaacs, and Jeffrey Wright.
Okay, you started that, and I immediately tuned out. And then you started listing the cast, and I went, hmm?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's it called?
You know what? I didn't write down.
Single Shot.
Single Shot. Yes, thank you.
Nice. Yeah, just everything else about this sounds like just pretty much painful.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you go to the cast, and it's like, hmm?
I'm always intrigued by Sam because he never does the same thing twice.
Yeah. Ooh, Jason Isaacs.
Right.
Wow.
Lucius Malfoy.
Right? Wow. This is like, and Melissa Leo's in this one too.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Damn.
So I don't know. It could be worth something.
All right then.
Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, World War Z, which they're already planning a sequel to.
All right.
I didn't see it, but from the people who did see it that I know, they said needs more zombies.
Yeah, it's a zombie movie without many zombies.
Yeah. Steven Soderbergh's HBO biopic Behind the Candelabra is on DVD and Blu-ray this week.
I've been waiting for this one. I want to see that.
No, it's supposed to be so over the top, and I guess Michael Douglas is just phenomenal in this.
Yeah.
Sofia Coppola's The Bling Ring, speaking of biopics.
Another one I've been waiting to come out on DVD to see. Yeah,
so that's this week. These were the kids who broke into celebrities' homes in L.A., people like Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan.
Mm-hmm. And then basically became celebrities themselves.
Right. So. Yep. It was a very twisted thing that the news in LA kept running on. It was just too much. All right. You ready for the next batch of TV on DVD?
Yes.
Settle in. CSI season 13, The Mentalist season 5, Leverage season 5, Grimm season 2, Nashville season 1. Arrow, Season 1. Bates Motel, Season 1. Hollow Crown, the complete series. And Vegas, not the Dan Tana 1970s Vegas, but this was Michael Chiklis and Dennis Quaid.
Right.
Last season.
Yeah, old time. Yeah, Vegas. Stuff. Yeah.
So they got the complete series of that.
Okay.
And then for people who are into kind of counterculture cult phenomenons, Doctor Who, The Ice Warriors, which is a Patrick Troughton story arc, you've got Christopher Lee and Hammer Horror's Dracula, Prince of Darkness on Blu-ray. Tremors, The Attack Pack, all four of the Tremors movies
on Blu-ray. Cool.
And those are a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then Universal is releasing their classic monster films individually on Blu-ray if you did not get last year's Magnificent Collector's set.
Okay.
You can tell we're getting into Halloween now.
Yeah.
Redbox has Star Trek Into Darkness, Tyler Perry's Peoples, Disney's Teen Beach Movie, which was their attempt to meld the worlds of High School Musical and the Frankie and Annette films.
Mm-hmm.
Which my nieces adore. They absolutely love this movie.
Great.
And then the original Insidious. If you would like to go see the sequel, you can pick up the original at Redbox and prepare yourself.
Okay.
Over at Netflix, we've got Ricky Gervais' series Derek, which was about a mentally challenged middle-aged man. It's not the comedy that you're used to seeing from Ricky Gervais. It's more of a toned-down dramatic dramedy, you know, that type of, you know, it has comedic elements, but it's more of a drama story. And I don't, it's a limited series, you know, like most Brit series are. But if you want to check it out, that's on Netflix this week. Two Disney movies, The Emperor's New Groove with David Spade, John Goodman, and Patrick Warburton, and Eartha Kitt.
Yes. I
watched that with the kids last night, too. And they had never seen it. So my nephew was on the floor laughing.
It's not quite a classic one, but it's definitely a fun one. No.
And Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, yeah.
Which I have never seen. Still. I know. I know. It's right. Disney movies I haven't seen. But the other thing that's interesting, and Eric is working on a review for us because we just got the DVD set from Acorn. Gillian Anderson's BBC series, based on a serial killer called The Fall, is on Netflix this week. So I'm wondering if she's doing her British accent or her American accent.
Yeah, I'm not sure, kind of going with her British one there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people who are liking her on Hannibal may want to check that out.
Oh, she's on Hannibal? I didn't know that.
She plays Hannibal's psychiatrist.
Oh.
And there's something funky. She was attacked by a patient. We haven't gotten the whole story with her yet.
Okay.
I think she might know, kind of really know about him.
Huh.
Suspect, at least. I don't know. We haven't gotten the whole story. It's a very cool character. Wow. And she plays it just very, well, it kind of her, but just very cool and even. And yeah.
Interesting. So. All right. Over at Hulu, we've got the original Saw. Now, I have not seen any of these movies. I am not a fan of the slash and gore. It's just not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I know a lot of people enjoy this franchise, and if you haven't seen it, here's your entry level into that world. April Fool's Day, which was another one of those. It was more of a modern attempt. They did all these movies in the 80s where they took, like, Valentine's, My Bloody Valentine, and Happy Birthday to Me, and all these types of things.
Yeah, they took every single holiday and made it a slasher Halloween kind of movie.
Silent Night, Deadly Night. So this one is the modern version of trying to step back into that world called April Fool's Day.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They, like, we did this 20 years ago, and now they're, like, redoing it.
Right. Right.
Okay.
And then this one I have never heard of, either I completely blocked it out. LL Cool J, Justin Timberlake, Kevin Spacey, and Morgan Freeman in some type of special ops film called Edison Force.
All right, then.
Yeah. But for those who are into anime and know the classic, almost revered comedy series, Ranma One-Half, Viz Media is releasing it to Hulu, 4 episodes a month with the original voice track and subtitles. Now, these have not been... They were originally released on VHS, which is where I found the series a long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. And then I think they did a limited DVD release, but now they're starting to bring this back. So they're going to release it to Hulu, they're going to do it to Blu-ray, but they're going to do it in small chunks. So if you want to see the original, go for it, because it really is a fantastic series. Okay. And that's all I've got for streaming and physical media this week.
Okay. Well, fall TV season is upon us.
Oh, boy.
I mean, we'll slowly wade into it, but... Monday, Dancing with the Stars on ABC.
Here we go.
Yep. And then also Monday, Bones season premiere, and then the new Sleepy Hollow.
So what is the Sleepy Hollow thing? Do you know?
It's like, it's modern day. Can't remember. I don't know why he's like been asleep for however many years, or like, I don't know if he was frozen or sleeping or something, but Ichabod Crane is back, and he's working with the modern day, like a young policewoman, because they're having these serial killers, and it's the Headless Horseman.
Okay.
It's a modern day version of that.
All right.
So that's one I have not seen.
Gotcha. And I think that is from Robert Orsi and Alex Kurtzman, who are also doing Hawaii Five-O and did Star Trek.
Yeah.
So
one I'll probably check out and see. I'm not too excited, but we'll see. All right, Tuesday night, Fox Big Night. So the new show, Dads, that I mentioned, the Martin Mull and...
It's Jerry O'Connell's show, right?
No, it's Seth Green.
Oh, okay.
Giovanna Ribisi.
All right.
Martin Mull and my dad's favorite actor, whose name I can't remember at the moment.
Jenny Kay was your dad's favorite actor.
No. From Crossing to Lancy, Peter Wiegert.
Oh, okay.
There we go. All right. None of you care about this. Fox Tuesday night. So the new show, Dads. The new show, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. New Girl season premiere. Mindy Project season premiere. Wednesday, Survivor premiere on CBS. And then the Big Brother finale. So that racist girl can go find out that she's been fired from her job. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see what happens in the house. I want to see when she gets out of it. And they're like, oh, you're fired. You're a bitch. Okay. Wednesday night also has America's Got Talent finale on NBC. Friday night, ABC is coming back with its comedies. Last Man Standing and The Neighbors. How The Neighbors is still on the air. I have no idea, but it is. And then also Shark Tank. Sunday, we have the forever finale of Dexter and the season finale of Ray Donovan on Showtime.
Wow.
But that is actually going up against the Emmys on CBS. This Sunday night. Look forward to. In music, Berlin has a new album.
Shut up.
Seriously. And I can't remember the lead singer's name. She looks as hot as ever, man.
Really?
So Berlin is called Animal. Jack Johnson also has a new one. Okay. From Here to Now to You. And Five for Fighting has Bookmarks out this week.
Nice. I may pick that.
And then new album called Wise Up Ghost, Elvis Costello, and The Roots.
I heard them talking about this on the radio on my drive home this afternoon. Yeah.
This has been hush hush. There's been secrets about this and what they're actually doing, but it is out this week, so we can check it out finally. Let's see, country music fans, AM by Chris Young, and We Are Tonight by Billy Currington, and then Johnny Lang has a new one called Fight for My Soul.
What has happened to him?
He grew up. Yeah. He's not like 15 or whatever he was anymore.
I haven't heard that name in forever.
Yeah, so he's still recording.
Well, good for him.
So, all right, books this week. I've been waiting for this one. So lucky I got to hear the author read part of it in June, but it's finally out. It's a children's book. It's called Fortunately, The Milk by Neil Gaiman.
Oh.
And Scotty Young illustrated that. But it's a funny children's book. It's about a dad who goes out for the milk for his children's breakfast.
Yeah.
And takes forever to come home, and then he tells a story how he got, like, kidnapped by pirates. And, like, all this crazy shit happens, and it's always like, this happened. But fortunately, the milk was in my pocket, and it's safe.
Ah.
So, anyhow, like kids' books that you will like to read as an adult, I promise you this will be great.
I am less than 60 pages away from finishing the Graveyard book, but I haven't touched it in since the last time I was on an airplane, which is this.
You got to go start it again. That's a book.
Guess.
Pretty quick. Yeah, again. So, yeah, you want a young adult book. Even as an adult, you'll like the Graveyard book. Okay, back to new this week.
Yes.
Nicholas Sparks, slightly opposite of Neil Gaiman, but his new one is called The Longest Ride.
Yep.
And Terry McMillan has Who Asked You? She's the author of How Stella Got Her Groove Back.
Oh.
So new one from her. And then Delia Ephron, Nora's sister, who wrote with her.
All right.
Has a new one of essays. It's called Sister, Mother, Husband, Dog, etc. And there is some stuff about losing Nora in there. Linda Ronstadt has a new memoir called Simple Dreams, a musical memoir. Now, this is very much about her career. It's not gossipy.
About Jerry Brown stuff. Or anything.
Yeah, it's not gossipy private life stuff.
Okay.
Hell, look at the career she's had. That's still going to be interesting.
No doubt.
Yeah. Let's see. TV fans. Deadly Heat, number 5 in the Nikki Heat series by, quote, Richard Castle.
Got it.
And then Walking Dead, volume 9 is out. And Food Network stuff. Jamie Dean, one of Paula's sons, who also has shows on the Food Network. Jamie Dean's Good Food, Cooking Up a Storm with Delicious Family-Friendly Recipes. And then Sunny Anderson, who also has shows on the Food Network. Sunny's Kitchen, Easy Food for Real Life. I mentioned before when the CD came out
that
Brothers of Darkland County which is like a Southern Gothic musical. It's Stephen King.
Oh, yeah, you did mention that.
And John Mellencamp and T-Bone Burnett.
Yes.
Okay. The national tour is kicking off December 10th at Indiana University in Bloomington.
Oh.
But it's going to go to 19 different Midwest cities this fall.
Huh.
So, yes, if you are fans of King or Mellencamp or Burnett, like, you are going to want to go see if this is coming to your town. So, Emily Skinner, who's a Tony nominee, is in it. And then Bruce Greenwood.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, he's starring in it, too.
Who was just, so it's who kind died
of, it's and stole concert tour gone. Of it. Yeah. So, anyhow, yeah, if you're fans of those writers and musicians, you are going to want to see if this is coming by you.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. In news this week, it's kind of a mixed bag. Disney CFO Jay Rasulo, who is using the Lone Ranger as the poster boy for lowering the production costs of Hollywood blockbusters across the board.
Right, because studios aren't making any money, I'm sure.
Well, when you step in it, like Disney has with John Carter and the Lone Ranger, you need to draw the line somewhere. But it's an interesting juxtaposition, right? Because J.J. Abrams' Star Wars Episode 7 is going into production in the U.K. and expected to be a hugely expensive endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
So Rasulo backtracks a little bit and says, well, what I meant by saying that to investors, I'm reiterating the fact that I was talking about non-franchise films.
Mm.
Uh-huh. So you can go and spend a ton of money as long as it's going to be a franchise and hugely popular like Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter, but don't go and do it if it's just going to be a one-off, which you think may be a franchise and then fails to become one.
Okay.
So, I don't know. He's just covering his ass and...
Yeah, I don't know. Exactly.
Yeah. TV is getting new cable channels for those of you bored with the million that we already have now.
Yeah, there's not enough on.
So, in addition to Al Jazeera America,
mm-hmm.
P. Diddy Puffy, whatever he's going by now, Combs, Sean Combs, is launching the Urban show, or network, Revolt TV.
Okay, Urban... In quote marks, yes.
Urban. Robert Rodriguez, who we just talked about, is christening the El Rey Network, which I'm assuming is going to be very Latin-focused.
Yes.
ABC is partnering with Univision on Fusion, which is a network tailored to English-speaking Latin Americans.
Okay.
Esquire has already moved into and redecorated the Style Network, which was owned by E!
Yeah.
To fit their demographic, you know, their longstanding brand image for Esquire magazine, because they're seeing that magazine sales are going down, so they want to turn it into something that was, you know.
That's how we're getting our news.
Right.
More. Yeah. Okay.
And then Maxim magazine is plotting to pick up the torch from Spike TV.
Yeah, right.
And go for the 20-something, early 30-something male demographic, because Spike is now trying to reach out to the female audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? One of my favorite TV shows is on Spike.
What?
Bar Rescue. I love it. It's like a Kitchen Nightmares, Restaurant Impossible, except it's bars. And it's really interesting. Okay.
So it's like that Tabitha show.
Yeah. Yeah, except it's this guy who's like a bar expert, and he goes in and, yeah, remodels and teaches them and whatevers and fires all the annoying people and...
Well, as long as we have 24 hours to fill, people will come up with television to fill.
Oh, I actually really like that show.
Okay. Producer Michael Shane, who had been an executive producer on such things as Catch Me If You Can with Leonardo DiCaprio and iRobot with Will Smith, has come up with an amazing project that has never been done before. He has partnered with the Chinese government and Japanese filmmakers to begin production on a television adaptation of Sun Tzu's The Art of War.
Wowzers. Just about everything in that sentence is impressive.
The project will be shot entirely in China under the direction of Japanese producer Wu Mei and will cover the life of the man widely considered to be the world's finest military strategist and the experience which led him to write his now legendary text.
Wow.
So, talk about ambitious. I am really curious to see how this plays out. Ben Affleck Speaking of busy people, will produce and direct a crime drama pilot for Fox this winter. The Middleman is set in 1960s Boston and focuses on an FBI agent hell-bent on taking down the Italian mafia with the help of an Irish-American gangster-turned-snitch.
Okay, then.
And speaking of Benji, Warner Brothers' new CEO, Kevin Sugihara, has told investors that Affleck's Batman will be tired and battle-weary, as if to carry on the theme set by Chris Nolan's Dark Knight.
So yeah.
For everyone who was worried that they were going to go in a different direction with it, it sounds like they're going to keep the character pretty much the same.
Ben is good to play that.
No, it is. But I somehow get the feeling when Hollywood types start working a lot, like a lot,
yeah,
a divorce announcement is on the way. You know what I mean?
I saw his... the news you were just talking about, and I'm like, isn't he going to be busy with Batman for a while? And yeah, it just seems like a lot's going on.
Because he's got two young girls and now an infant son.
Right.
And I haven't seen too many projects that Jen's been working on aside from television commercials. Like, she's the face of Lancome or something like that.
Neutrogena.
Okay.
Get it right.
Sorry. But this inevitably happens. You know, you throw yourself into your work and then all of a sudden, like, they've parted amicably and
don't start rumors.
I'm just pointing out the fact.
Listen to Mr. Wrong on Fan.
That's right. If I can't get Fan to write, how can I get celebrity news right? J.K. Rowling is getting back into the screenwriting game by developing the Harry Potter text Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them as a potential film franchise.
Okay.
Now, the author denies that this will serve as a prequel or a sequel to the Potter films, but one can't help but wonder just how much Warner Brothers wants to reopen that gold mine.
Of course they do. No, what do you mean help but wonder? There's no wondering. Of course they do. If they can make money on it, they want to do it.
So the tease is that the story is set in New York 70 years before Harry went to Hogwarts. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. You know, Steve Kloves is the one that's responsible for the screenwriting on the Potter franchise.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe she picked up, you know, she learned from him and can do it, but we'll see. We'll see what she does. Seth Meyers is getting a co-anchor for SNL's Weekend Update this season and second-year cast member Cecily Strong. I think that segment of the show works better with two people.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been sold on Seth.
Really? You know? Well, he's leaving mid-season.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he's taking over Fallon's show.
But I thought he was still going to do SNL, no? Okay.
How could you? Well, Lauren is hoping he'd stay on and just do Weekend. He's actually even given up the head writer job at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
He'll still be on SNL. He will do Weekend Update. Lauren is hoping he will continue to do Weekend Update even after he leaves.
All right.
SNL, maybe. Because he technically could.
Yeah.
I mean, if he would want to, but that's a lot of work.
It's true. So. Very, very true. All right, and then just one more. PETA is coming down on Katy Perry for the video of Roar, which is her new hit single.
Yes.
For the animals that they use.
Tell me what I'd be mad about. I actually liked it. Damn it.
Well, the story that I heard from Katy herself... When I was at the gym the other day, she was on Good Morning America. The elephant that they got, they were shooting in a botanical garden in Arcadia, California.
Okay.
The elephant they had started to eat rare prehistoric plants, the only one of their kind.
Oops.
And they couldn't stop. You know, how do you stop an elephant from eating?
Right. And it's so hard nowadays. Like, I don't know what's real and where they really are and what animals are real and, you know, like in the video.
Right. But
I guess PETA's, I don't know.
Yeah, they're not being specific about what they're charging her with, only to say that the controls that were in place on that video shoot were not sufficient for the animals that they were using.
Okay. Which is Katy Perry's fault.
Well,
she knows how to.
Yeah, exactly.
There were no animal experts, I'm sure. What?
I don't know.
All right.
All right, that's all I got for news.
Okay. So, the Kardashian boys,
yeah,
who aren't really Kardashians, but once you're connected, you're just a Kardashian all the way around. Lamar is actually being charged with the DUI. I told you he got arrested.
Yeah.
Picked up for a couple weeks ago. Anyhow, he has been charged now with the DUI.
Okay.
Because he would not take a breathalyzer.
All right.
Kanye has been charged with battery and theft when he attacked that paparazzi a few weeks ago.
Oh, I thought they threw that out.
Well, he didn't get charged then. And I'm like, how did he not get charged? Both of these. Like, how did he not get charged? Nope. Kanye has actually been charged.
Well, so, I saw that tape, and it
nothing
was...
Nothing really happened.
Yeah. He was... Well, but he was a complete asshole.
He is a complete asshole. There is no... Nothing.
Yeah.
Like, there's no denying this. No other way around it.
I mean, the paparazzi are insensitive jerks who get in your face.
Absolutely.
You know.
But anyhow. So, yeah, Lamar and Kanye have been charged now. But, okay, so our friend, the human algorithm, sent me a link.
Yeah.
I went to the main thing is on Spin magazine, so spin.com.
Okay.
Has an article. Dave Chappelle was doing a show, and he talked about Kanye.
Yeah.
So back in 2004, Kanye was hanging out in Chappelle's show, shooting.
Oh.
When he was shooting. Chappelle was shooting it, and Kanye was hanging out and this whole thing. And so it's before Kanye was so huge.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And Chappelle tells this story that Kanye's sitting there, he answers the phone and goes, quote, hello? Huh? What? Oh, I can't. I can't. Because I'm at Dave Chappelle's show watching sketches that nobody's ever seen before. Because my life is dope and I do dope shit. He hung up the phone. So anyhow, Spin Magazine, they actually have like the clip of Chappelle telling the story about Kanye.
God.
It's so funny. And I'm like, you know what? Kanye's right about something. His life is pretty dope. And he does dope shit completely. Anyhow, it's, I don't know. It's just, yeah, Kanye. Like, why can't you? Because my life is dope, man. So anyhow.
I can't. I can't. Why? Because I'm screwing Kim Kardashian, man. I'm inside her right now.
Oh, all right. Why do you gots to go there and put nasty images in my mind? I don't need to be that in... Ugh.
All right. And on that note...
On that note, we'll talk about our contest this week.
Yes.
It's a kid's DVD. Watch that. Shut out of my brain. Thomas and Friends, King of the Railway.
Dun, dun, dun.
So Thomas the Tank Engine and all of his little... engine and, you know, boxcar buddies.
Okay.
So that's our contest. You can win a DVD of that, which is out this week.
Sweet. All right. That'll do it for us this week. Thank you guys for tuning in. And as always, thank you for reading our reviews at DVDverdict.com. We will be back next week. And until then, Melissa Ann, take it away.
Can't stop loving you, baby, baby, baby. Can't you see that all I could never say? Never can say goodbye. No, 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 no.